Okay, so first of all, big Yashikach to the Grala family. We'll cover the birth of the grandson, Bez Hashem. Shikach for the sponsorship, and they should be Zaycha, the grandson should be happy and healthy and good, raise him to become a big Talmid Chacham, a Tzaddik, and Erlich Chayid. Amongst the whole family, amongst the whole Kilo, we'll call Yisrael, Bez Hashem. Always celebrating Simchas together. Okay, so we're going back to Sefer Shoftim. So, for those that have very good memories, you remember that the last thing we learned in Sefer Shoftim was sort of a little bit of an introduction to the story of Devorah. That's what we're up to in Perek Dalet and Hey. That's the story of Devorah. So, we spoke about a number of aspects, but I guess the one thing that that's kedai to remember from that, from those introductory shiurim, and we'll then really start today, is the following inyan. I don't remember how many weeks ago it was, but we learned from Rav Tzadik. Rav Tzadik taught us that, you know, general. Obviously, we know Torah is divided into two parts. You have Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And the truth is, Jewish history is also divided into two parts, primarily. You have a tekufa of Torah Shebichtav. That's from Har Sinai until the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, beginning of the second. That's the time period of Torah Shebichtav. Those are the years that Torah Shebichtav discusses. That's when Nevuah was dominant in Klal Yisrael. The way of connection to Hashem was primarily through Nevuah, Torah Shebichtavdik. And then you have the second Beis HaMikdash to today, till Mashiach, which is the era of Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's Bechlal, how Jewish history is divided up. But everything is sort of interconnected. So we saw from Rav Tzadik, again, way back when, that the inyan of the specific galus that Devora Hanaviyah, as we'll see, we'll learn a little bit of the story today, but Devora Hanaviyah comes to redeem us from and to rescue us from, the inyan of galus is that it means that whenever you have the non-Jews, you know, so to speak, holding on, you know, to the Jewish people, it means there's something in Kedusha that's trapped in the other side that needs to be rescued. This inyan in Kedusha that was trapped in the other side, that materialized outwardly as the exile of the Jewish people with this particular issue, as we'll see in Sefer Shoftim, that Devora Hanaviyah comes to rescue us from, the thing that was trapped in the other side were the seeds of Torah Shebaal Peh. Even though this is, again, an era of Torah Shebichtav, but the seeds of Torah Shebaal Peh, even at this time, needed to be rescued, and they found themselves stuck, kviyachol, in Golas, and Devora Hanaviyah was rescuing those seeds. That's what he mentioned, that we'll see about this later also, but Chazal say that Rabbi Akiva comes from, he was a descendant of Sisera. Sisera was the bad guy, as we'll see. So Rabbi Akiva is a descendant of Sisera. Rabbi Akiva is Torah Shebaal Peh. Kula liud Rabbi Akiva. Everything comes from Rabbi Akiva, Torah Shebaal Peh. So the inyan of Nishmas Rabbi Akiva being stuck in the enemy, that itself was the Golus. That wasn't a side point. That is the Golus. The Jewish people being trapped under the dominion of Sisera, as we'll see, the bad guy, then that dominion of the guy over Klal Yisrael is the inyan of Torah Shebaal Peh, that side of the Jewish people, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, which obviously the champion of that is Rabbi Akiva, that was stuck in Golus. Devorah comes to rescue Torah Shebaal Peh from Golus. That's what we spoke about this, again, Bariches, for a number of weeks. We learned the relationship of Nekevis, of women, with Torah Shebaal Peh, where it's like this funny relationship. They're not supposed to learn, but yet Torah Shebaal Peh is associated with women. We spent time with this. But the Gemara also says that Rishmul Bar Shilas, the classic example in Chazal of the great Malamed, the one that is the expert Malamed Tinoikis, the one that teaches children Torah, he also comes from Sisera and so on. So Torah Shebaal Peh is associated, as I said, that was what is in Gullah. So you sort of keep them in the back of your mind, and then that's what we spoke about also, that we'll see also that the inyan of the enemy in this story of Devorah, the strength of the enemy is expressed by the Torah, by the Navi, as in the fact that he had 900 chariots of Barzel. 900 chariots of Barzel. So we spoke about this, how the 900 chariots of Barzel corresponds to the 600 chariots of Paroi, and so on. How in Mitzrayim was Tarsh B'Chsav that was engulfed and needed rescuing, and over here it's Tarsh Baal Peh. And we spoke about this. We spoke about this. Then again, I'm just reminding us. I'm not going through the sugi again of why the number 600 is associated with Tarsh B'Chsav, why 900 to Tarsh Baal Peh. And Chazal already make a point that we're not going to see this week, but we'll see Bez Hashem next week, that the way that the army of the enemy was destroyed was similar to a Kriyas Yamsuf thing, that the river, the Rabbanu Shalom sort of Bashgacha brought them to a particular place of the river, Nachal Kishon, and this river swallowed them up and sort of paid back the debt to the Yamsuf, right? The Yamsuf had the Mitzrayim, but then Hashem forced the Yamsuf to spit out the Mitzrayim. So the Yamsuf was like, no, I'm still owed. I'm owed. So Hashem said, I'm going to pay you back by the times of Sisra. So this we saw a lesson from Rav Tzadik. That inyan is expressing the connection and the intimate bond between Tarsh Baal Peh and Tarsh B'Chsav, that they can't be separate from each other. Tarsh Baal Peh has to flow from Tarsh B'Chsav. And so we're going to see more about that this morning. Okay, so let's that's just sort of the background and just sort of by way of Hakdama. Let's see insight. So the first paragraph that you have is it's from Sefer Novi. It's from Sefer Shoftim, the beginning of Perek Dalet. So tonight, today, what we're going to see is we're just going to begin the story, and we're going to get a little bit of familiar with some of the people involved, and then we'll see some of the penimis, hopefully. Okay. So it says in part again. I'm just going to read through it quick. The Yeshiva Bnei Yisrael Lasis Rab Bnei Hashem. This is the common theme of Sefer Shoftim. As we know, the Jewish people began again to do that which is negative in the eyes of Hashem. It's usually a code word for Pagam HaBris. Lasis Hara B'nei Hashem. Ra is usually a code word for the issue of Pagam HaBris. So the Yisifu B'nei Yisrael Lasis Hara B'nei Hashem. The Ehud Meis. Ehud, who was the previous Shoifet, he's no longer around. And so there's no one holding the reins. So things go off. The Yim Kareim Hashem. So Hashem sells the Jewish people. Even that inning of Mechira, of the Golas being described as if we're sold to the enemy. So again, there's something that the enemy's holding on to. When you sell something, so obviously the person pays money for it, and therefore he owns it. But there's always some like a ration. There's a residue of where it comes from. You know, it's not homegrown. You know, it's not homegrown. So there was something that was the Jewish people were sold to the enemy, but it's sort of like we're in the enemy's jurisdiction, but we're not. Really, we're not really. Well, you'll see what I'm heading at a little bit later. V'yimkrim Hashem biyad, so Hashem sells us into the hands of Yavin, Melech Kenan, one of the remaining kings of Kenan. Yavin, Asher Melech b'Chatzar, who lived in this place of Chatzar, v'sar tzivoy, and his general was Sisra. V'hu yoshev b'chareshes agayim, and the Sisra, the general, lived in a place that was called Chareshes agayim. Simple, Chareshes agayim means the stronghold of the nations. So that's where it is. So again, what's unique over here is that usually the direct villain that we deal with is the king. Over here, it's interesting. We don't deal with the king really. It's Sisra that is that's the person we deal with. You'll see. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. So the Jewish people call out to Hashem, they do tshuva. Ki teisha meis rechav barzeloi. It's interesting. Like, the pasuk has to explain why we called out to Hashem. We called out to Hashem because Sisra had 900 chariots of iron. V'ulochatz es b'nei Yisrael b'chazka. And he pressured the Jewish people very, very much. Esther Mishana for 20 years. Now Rashi, you don't have this in front of you, but Rashi comments, so what does it mean to pressure the Jewish people b'chazka? What's the chazka? So Rashi brings down from Chazal, the word chazka over here, it actually means gidufim. It means that Sisra wouldn't just make tzaris for us, but he blasphemed, he cursed Hashem, the Jewish people, who would say words of gidufim, of chirufim, of gidufim, of disgrace. He used his mouth, which is also associated with Tarsh Baal Peh. Malchus Peh, Tarsh Baal Peh, Karinala, Tarsh Baal Peh. So again, that's an indication of the golas that was going on. If it was Tarsh Baal Peh being stuck in the enemy territory and then being used in an incorrect and unholy way, b'chazka, for 20 years. Okay, 20 is also a number that 10 is always a number which means a full infrastructure. 20 means two infrastructures connected to each other. Tarsh B'Chsav, Tarsh Baal Peh. Well, again, I'm going to explain more as we go along, just highlighting things to think about. Fine, so that's going on. Now says the Pasuk, Devorah Ishes Neviah. Devorah was a female Navi. Eishes Lapidos. What does Eishes Lapidos mean? So simple words would be that she was the wife of someone named Lapidos. Chazal say that's not the pshat, because why would we... Devar is more famous than her husband. So like say, oh, she's the husband of Lapidos. I've never heard of Lapidos. So it doesn't help me anything. So Chazal say Lapidos doesn't mean there's not someone's name. Lapidos is a description of why, of what was so chashev about her. Chazal say that Lapidos means that she, her job, I don't know, her inyan was that she would make the psilos, that she would make the wicks for the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan at the time. That's Eishes Lapidos. She was the woman that was involved with like a lapid eish. Lapid eish means the flame. Psilos. So she would make the wicks. That was her inyan. Okay, you have to know what that means. Obviously, the menorah is always associated with Tarash Baal Peh too. It's Chanukah, right? It's we'll see in this story. There's a lot of Chanukah and Purim. Those Yom Tovim come out in this story. We'll see, but there's definitely a Chanukah inyan over here. Chanukah is associated with Tarash Baal Peh, as we know. The menorah is associated with Tarash Baal Peh. Chazal say when Aaron HaKohen needed to learn a sugya and he was having a difficulty in learning in Tarash Baal Peh, he would go look at the light of the menorah and would help him understand. So certainly the making the wicks, we'll see specifically wicks, we'll talk about this maybe next week, but the ending of the wicks obviously means that the Devorah is very deeply connected to Tarash Baal Peh. So he shafta es Yisrael Beisei and she was a shafetas. Says in Pasuk, V'yishevis tachas toimer Devorah. So I'll read the pasuk the way it reads, but Chazal interpreted it differently. She was sitting under Toimer, under the palm tree of Devira. Bain, where is this palm tree? So Bain Harama, between the place of Rama, or Bain Basel, between Basel, so it's between these two locations, Bahar Ephraim and the Mount of Ephraim. The Yalula ben Eisul Mishpat and Klaisha will go to her for judgment. Now the truth is, Chazal learned that those that we're not describing a location. The pasuk is describing the parnasa that she had. Besides being a shefetes, she was also very wealthy. And the pasuk is describing where she had her wealth from. And it's saying four sources. She had tamarim. She had orchards of tamarim or dates, right? She also had. That's the reference of Toimer Dvaira. Bein Harama, she also had, Chazal interpret that to mean, she also had vineyards in a place of Rama. Ubein Beisel, she also had olive groves. And Bahar Ephraim, she also had areas that they would use the specific type of sand that was very good to make glass. This is how Chazal interpret each one. It's all the Messiah of Tarash Baal Peh. Takam Yonison says it like that. Okay? Obviously, so it's interesting. The pasuk is highlighting her wealth. That doesn't come up later in the story. The fact that she was wealthy has nothing to do with the actual, like, it doesn't seem to be a relevant point. But, okay. I guess we'll speak about that later. And with these four different sources of parnasa, again, dates, vineyards, dates, you know, grapes, olives, and sand for glass. Okay? It says in Pasuk, V'tishlach v'tikra l'barak ben Avinoyam mikedesh Naphtali. So Devorah, she gets a message from Hashem, obviously, and she sends a message to a person named Barak ben Avinoyam, who's from the city of Kadesh, from the Shevet Naphtali. V'tomer Elov, and she says to him, Haleitziv Hashem elekei Yisrael. Hashem commanded us. In other words, the way Chazal interpreted it means that we already have a mitzvah from Yishuv Benun to conquer all the lands of Eretz Yisrael, and Canaan is this Yavin Melch Canaan is causing us problems. We should have taken care of this a long time ago. Haloitziv Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hashem already commanded us to deal with this. So therefore, I'm telling you, Barak Lech Umashachta Bahar Tavar, go and gather troops from the place of Har Tavar. V'lakach Imcha, and take with you Aser Salaf Amish, 10,000 men, Bivnei Naphtali, Bivnei Zvulun. Those two Shvatim in particular, Naphtali and Zvulun. Take those two Shvatim, 10,000 men. Again, we don't know much about Barak before this. I don't know what his position was, but that's what Devar says to him. U'meshachti Alecha, and Devar says in the name of Hashem, I will draw to you, El Nachal Kishain, to the Nachal of Kishain, as Sisra Sar Tzva, Yavin, Sisra, the general of Yavin, I'm going to make him come to you, and that by Nachal Kishon, and that's where he'll be destroyed. Ves Richboy, Ves Hamoina, his chariots, every all of his chevra, and Satiu Biyadacha, I'll give him to you, won't be a problem. But Yoimer Le Barak, so Barak sends a message back to Dvora, Im Telchi Imi, V'Halachti, if you come with me, I'll go. V'im Loi Telchi Imi, if you don't come with me, Loi Elech, I'm not going. Okay, it's a little bit of a pella. I mean, it's a nevuah. You can say no. Okay, the timer. So she says, "Fine, halach elechimach, I will go with you." It's interesting. She references him, Blashen Akeva, imach. But efes ki loy siyat tefartecha aladerch asher atahoylech. But you should know that your honor and your glory, your teferis, will not be so obvious. You're not going to go down in history. The story is not going to go down in history as Barak saving the day. Ki biyad isha yimkar Hashem esisra. Sister is going to be delivered in the hands of a woman. So Pasha, you think right now she's referring to herself. Later on, we'll see that there's another woman that's involved with the Smaisa, which is Yael. So that's also referenced. And Yael, later on, we'll see in the story, she actually kills Sisera. So it ends up being more than Kev is involved. But talking to Dvara, so Dvara got off, Etelech in Barak, Kadesh, Akecha, and she goes to Barak, to the city of Kadesh, and that's where. And we'll see next week the rest of the story again. 10,000 men are gathered. And like Dvar says, sister's taken care of. Okay, so let's begin to unravel this. Like I said before, the storyline over here is the rescuing of Tarshish Baal Peh. That's the thing, rescuing Tarshish Baal Peh. So in order to appreciate that, so we have to understand the relationship between Tarshish Baal Peh and Tarshish B'Chsav. Like I mentioned before, Tarshish Baal Peh cannot exist as a standalone thing. When Tarshish Baal Peh exists as a standalone thing, that becomes another religion. It becomes a stam, your own ideas, a stamazai. Tarshish Baal Peh has to flow from Tarshish B'Chsav. So this relationship of Tarshish Baal Peh and Tarshish B'Chsav, so let's see in Marmoka number one. So this is from a piece from Rav Tzadik in Likutei Amar on page 80. So what we're going to see is that Rav Tzadik is telling us is that we'll see it together inside, but a little bit of a Rav Tzadik says that the inyan of Tarshish Baal Peh and Tarshish B'Chsav and Tarshish Baal Peh is captured. The mashal to that would be a father and mother, a husband and a wife. We'll see in a second. Hine Amar b'tikunim, it says in the Tikkuni Zohar, Avicha zeh Tarshish B'Chsav, v'imecha da Tarshish Baal Peh. So the Tikkuni Zohar says that Avicha v'imecha, father and mother, Avicha. Any particular Jew, and the pasuk says, like, you know, it's going on the pasuk Shema bini Musar Avicha v'altitash Torah simecha. So Shlomo Melech is talking to every single Jew. Keep the Torah of your father and mother. So the Torah says Avicha zeh Torah shebichsav, imecha zeh Torah shebaal peh. Says Rav Tzadik, v'u'atzmai mashakas b'zar kam v'amim. This is itself the same thing as what we find in other places in Chazal in the Zohar. Avicha zeh Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'imecha zeh Knesset Yisrael. So there's a parallel over here. So Rav Tzadik says, Tarshish B'Chsav, Tarshish Baal Peh equals HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael. And both of those are described as like a father and mother. So he explains, Asher B'Yuroi Mavur, the explanation of this is clear. Ki Knesset Yisrael, when we say Knesset Yisrael, Ratzaloymer Kibbutz Klolus Nefoshes Mi'Yisrael. We're talking about not individual people. When we say Knesset Yisrael, we're talking about the Shechina. We're talking about the collective entity of the Jewish people, the soul, the collective soul of the Jewish people. By Tzeisim Lepoyel, that then manifests practically in the individual Jews that come into the world. But the Metzias of Klal Yisrael, V'zeh Nikra Imecha Shekol Nefesh B'Prat. That's called the mother of any individual Jew. So this is, the Sfar HaKadosh talk about this, that this is what makes Klal Yisrael unique to any other nation. But the Americans, right? So so America, there's no such thing as the Metzias of America. There's people that live in the same country that hopefully share the same values and things like that. And you know, and the Mela, that's how it goes. That's what a country is. But once it, but the Metzias of Knesset Yisrael is not like that. There's a Metzias that's called the Jewish people, and individuals are extensions of that. Individual extensions of that, yeah.
So just come back in a second.
Yeah.
No.
Everyone knew Dvar. Dvar was the leader of the generation. Dvar was the leader of the generation.
Oh,
no. Dvar was no. She was Shefetet Eses Yisrael. She She was the Torah leader of the generation. Yeah, yeah. I don't know who Baruch was. I don't know. Who Baruch, maybe he, I don't know. I'm not sure. Love that. We think it was like a military. He could have been just an Erlich Yid, and the Navi says you're the one in charge. Okay. You know, we think of it as like, you know, who knows? They're going with pitchforks and forks and spoons. Who knows? Huh? He turned into that. I don't know if he was that before. I don't know. I'm saying it's not. I don't know. Anyway, so again, so Avicha and Imecha. So Imecha is Knesset Yisrael. So he says, why is it called a mother? Just like a mother that births a child, the baby was, she was pregnant with the baby. The baby, you know, developed the baby in her womb, during the 9 months, and then she gives birth to the baby, right? But here's the nekuda. The baby doesn't come out of the mother on, it's not from nothing, right? Rak miyesh shel zera ha'av, right? The little tipa, srucha, the tipa that comes from the father, the mother then takes that tipa and develops it and brings out all the koiches and obviously invests her own energies as well. And from that yesh that's from the father becomes the baby. So he says, Rak miyesh shel zera ha'av, Shumakor shel avlad yesh miayin, by the father it's like yesh miayin. Again, it's not mamish yesh miayin, if you understand, but you know it's like something from nothing. Va'eim mitzia yesh miyesh, and the mother takes that something and turns it into a baby. Can you do it? That's a v'kach dugma zeh mamish beilodes nefesh chadash miyisrael. Similar to this is how a yid comes into the world. She bebet in knesses yisrael. The way every neshama is a chelik of the kami mal mamish, right? Every neshama really is a piece. Where does every neshama come from? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Father. But in order for that chelak al-kami mal mamish to then be able to be worked out and developed, so to speak, in pratim, enough that it should actually come into a body and live in this world, it has to go through the process of it being in the womb, so to speak, of Knesset Yisrael, of the collective soul of the Jewish people, where that chelak al-kami mal mamish from Kaviyachal the Father, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is then able to be developed in a way that could then come into a body and to live and to accomplish. So he says, "Kach dugma zamamish berlodes nefesh chadash miyisrael." This is how an neshama comes into the world. She bebeten Knesset Yisrael, remains in gestation by Knesset Yisrael. It's a loymer. Oisei koyach klal kibbutz, that collective entity who Knesset Yisrael. Vaydei hazroas HaKadosh Baruch Hu beKnesset Yisrael. That chelak elakam mamish. That unknowable essence that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochol, then Knesset Yisrael, that's the Shechina, then takes that and makes it and takes the neshama in such a way that it could come into the world. By the way, this is why it means that whenever you think about it, whenever a child is born, and the truth is, we'll see soon, this is really an actual birth of a baby, or like another yid coming into the world, is just like an extreme example of this. But the truth is, we'll see soon, any chiddush, any development, any new thing that a yid has and experiences is really klal Yisrael simcha. That's what you think about it, right? Because that's the only. When a baby's born, the father and mother celebrate, right? So the Hashem is the father, and the mother is Knesset Yisrael. So that's what. So it's a Knesset Yisrael de Kesimcha. It's not just for individual people. So anyway, so that's the process, so to speak, of how a yid comes into the world. Now Rav Tzadik takes it one step further. Vine nevesh adam hu kifi amachshav v'achoch meshav adam. The essence of a person is their chachma, that the nefesh, the machshav and the chachma of a person. Not necessarily their human intellect, but when a neshama is expressed through its intellect, through its seichel. Ki b'zehu yisun adam min ha-behema, that's what makes a human being greater than an animal. Vim kein, so this storyline of a neshama coming into the world, besides it being a storyline in terms of how an actual neshama comes to the world with a baby, you know, with a birth, it also, you have the same storyline also exists in the world of intellect, in the world of machshava. So there's every single Jew originates as as a chelak lekami mal mamish by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that so the Jewish people in that state also exists in terms of Chochmas Hashem. That's called Tarshi B'Chsav. In other words, this flow from the Chelek Elikami Mal Mamish, which is by Yavicha, developing into a Nefesh Prati through Imecha, that is exactly the same process in Torah. Like we always say that, you know, Klal Yisrael parallels Torah. Torah is just like there's a storyline of a Jew, there's a storyline of Torah. So this storyline of how a Jew comes into the world from Avicha and Imecha, that's exactly the same parallel to that is also the storyline of how Torah comes into the world, which is Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh. So every single Jew is a walking Sefer Torah. Every single Jew is a piece of Torah in soul form. And just as the soul form comes in these stages of its first starting as this Chelek Kami Mal Mamish, which is sort of hard to grasp, but by Avicha, but then through the womb of Knesset Yisrael, it becomes a little bit more identifiable and more relatable and more grounded to the point of where it could enter into a body practically. That's exactly that same soul journey is exactly what's happening in Torah Shebaal Peh as well. In other words, every single Jew is a piece of Torah Shebichsav that has been brought a little bit more into relatability through Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what a Jew is. He'll explain a little bit. So he says, "Vimkein al korchach shachochma shalomala, the wisdom above, and as Torah Shebichsav, yesh b'kach mina hischalkus shal prote divri chochma kfi misper hischalkus shal misper Yisrael." The amount of Jewish souls that exist, again, which you can't necessarily tell by how many Jews exist in the world, because neshamas, you know, but the amount of neshamas that exist is exactly the breakdown of how much divine wisdom of Torah Shebichsav the Rabbeinu Shalom decides to reveal in creation, to then break down and to develop and work out through the lens of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that emerges as the Jewish people. That's the Jewish people are. B'seder shel chachma helyoina. V'kach Torah Shebichsav, so too Torah Shebichsav. I'm skipping a lot in this piece, but v'kach Torah Shebichsav, he kalelis behelim, kol mini chachma sheyesh b'chachma shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ratzel hezgal lebruim. Torah Shebichsav contains all of the divine wisdom that Hashem has chosen to reveal into creation. That's everything. Rak achar kach behem shechadoris, as the generations move on, so then the mother that's called Knesset Yisrael, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, then begins to sort of flesh out and to work out the pratim of what was contained in that seed that's called Torah Shebichsav. And it comes into reality through the chacham of every generation and so on. And through each individual neshama of each individual Jew. So in other words, Rav Tzadik is, again, the model of understanding what Torah Shebaal Peh is and its relationship to Torah Shebichsav is similar to the way the model to think of it is like a baby being born through a father and a mother. This is not, so again, we're not talking about two separate structures that somehow have to be on the same page. It's like the relationship of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh is not like two separate things that sort of have to get along. It's not like there's Torah Shebichsav and then there's like Rabbi Kiva's own ideas. And just he can't say anything that's against the Pasuk. It's not like that. Everything that Rabbi Kiva is saying is itself contained in Torah Shebichsav. Just Rabbi Kiva goes and he brings out and he reveals what was contained in Torah Shebichsav. Just as a mother takes the seed from the father and brings out all the potential that was contained in that seed, and that is the baby. So too, that vart of Rabbi Kiva, it looks like it was just a human. There's a big cloud that Rabbi Tzadik talks about. We've mentioned this many times. That what Torah Shebaal Peh looks like on the outside, Torah Shebichsav looks like divine, and Torah Shebaal Peh looks like human. It happens to be, they have to sort of coexist. They have to get along. No. Just like when you see a baby is not the father and the mother just sort of like, you know, getting along with each other. The baby is a piece of the father that the mother brought out, and the mother brought out all the details of, and that is what the baby is. So too, when it comes to Torah Sheba'al Peh, the mitzias of Torah Sheba'al Peh is, in truth, the existence of Torah Shebichsav, but in grounded in sort of a practical grounded form. Now, Rav Tzadik writes this in many places. He says b'feirish, openly in many places, that Torah Sheba'al Peh is basically nevuah behelam. It's prophecy concealed. And the truth is, every piece of Torah Shebichsav is open nevuah, and every piece of Torah Sheba'al Peh is concealed nevuah. Now, in halacha, obviously, we still have the rules that Torah Shebichsav, you know, the Raisa, the Rabbanan. This doesn't change the rules, but if you want to know what it is, the mitzvah is that Torah Sheba'al Peh is the unpackaging and the grounding and the development of that which is contained in Torah Shebichsav. This is the mitzvah of this is the oimek of what when the pasuk says, and you'll see how we'll take it, we'll bring it back to the story in a moment. But the pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, when Adam and Chava were born, it says in pasuk Al Kain Yaziv Ishes Avivis Imay V'Davak BeIshtoy V'Hayu L'Basar Echad. Rashi teaches that through the child, the Ish and Isha are unified as one. Why is that? It's not the pshat like, oh, now there's a baby and now they're all their schedules are, you know, revolving around the baby. That's not the point. The point is, that's also true, but that's not the point. The point is that the baby is a simen. The baby is an indication that the entire inyan of Chas and Kala, of Avicha v'Yimecha, was one inyan, with one flow. Instead of it being two separate zachin, two separate people that are just getting along with each other, hopefully, for most of the time, it's one mitzias, and Avicha v'Yimecha are one mitzias. That's the difference. And the child is not, it's not a siba, it's a simen. The child is a simen of that, the level of yichud that we're talking about between a father and a mother. Now, let's understand. This is why, there's this funny dynamic between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, just as it is with a healthy, with a good shalom bayis, you know? So if you ask the husband, hopefully, and I'm, you know, the husband in this, you know, if you ask Rabbi Levine, you say, you know, he was, who's more chashev, you and your wife? Rabbi Levine, my wife is, you know. And if you ask, I'm assuming, if you ask Rabbi Levine's wife, who's more chashev? My husband, right? Each one is machshev of the other, right? Chazal find this with Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheba'al Peh as well, right? So we, Torah Shebichsav is untouchable, right? We're Mashav Torah Shebichsav. The highest thing is Torah Shebichsav. It's untouchable. Halavai, we're just trying to figure out Torah Shebichsav. Chazal say, well, that's if you ask us, right? If you ask the Rabbanu Shloilam, so Chazal say, Chaviv and Divrei Seif from Yosef Yenish Al Torah. The Rabbanu Shloilam loves Torah Sheba'al Peh. He has much more nachas from Torah Sheba'al Peh than he has from Torah Shebichsav, right? So each one is sort of, right? So what's going on over here? So let's understand. The ending of so this Geula, again, this is a, let's go back to the story, right? So Torah Sheba'al Peh is in Golas. Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, here's the nekuda. Whenever there's a Golus is never just we don't have what we're supposed to have. Golus means that what we're supposed to have, the Goyim think they have. And what we are supposed to have is somehow hijacked by the other side. And what is really alien to the other side, they're acting ke'ilu, it's part of their system. In other words, this inyan of full of real yichud between avicha v'imecha, this full yichud between zachar nekeva, right, which is v'hoyu l'basar echad. Again, that's the site. That v'hoyu l'basar echad is dafka in the dynamic of a child, right, that brings out the full yichud of chasin and kala. This mitzias of such yichud of zachar nekeva, of v'hoyu l'basar echad, is only shaykh by Knesset Yisrael. That's the telltale sign of Kedusha. That's Torah Sheba'al Peh. Chazal say that the real sign of how do you know, who are the chosen people, it's not who has Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, you go to any bookstore, you find it. But the real sign is Torah Sheba'al Peh, right? That mitzias of the Hoyle Basar Echad, of absolute union, of oneness, which is what happens when you have the result at the end of Torah Sheba'al Peh, That's Kedusha. The mitzias of kedusha is yichud. The mitzias of the other side is period of is division. When you're dealing with Tarsh Baal Peh in Golus, then the tragedy of Golus is that the nation, that the goyim, the bad guys, the villains, feel as if they actually are the ones to whom yichud of Ahoy L'Basar Echad fully exists by them. But it's only because they're hijacking this nekuda of yichud, which is in truth by the Jewish people, but they're hijacking it. You find this in the names of the villains in the story. Here, take a look. You see by the Marmalkum number 2, okay? This is not a quote from anybody, because who's the name of the Melech of Canaan, right? Yavin, okay. The name of the Rasha is going to be telling you that that inyan in kedusha is now being hijacked by the Sitra Achra. What does the name Yavin mean? So Yavin, the word, first of all, when you see the word Yavin, so let me a little background. In by the Mekubalim, the inyan of Abba ve'ima, a mother and a father, is associated with the midas of Chachma and Bina. Chachma is father, and Bina is mother. That's a classic in the Sfarim from the Zohar Kaddish. Chachma Bina means father and mother. So first of all, right away, you see the word Yavin. That tells you Bina. What's interesting is that the gematria of the word Yavin is 72, right? 72, which equals the gematria, first of the word Chesed, which is more associated with the Zohar, right? Women are more Gvura, males more Chesed. But more than that, there's different ways how to spell Hashem's name in full. When you spell Hashem's name in full using yuds, so which you see over here, right? Yud, it's yud ke vav ke, but yud is yud vav dalid, right? That's always yud vav dalid. But the rest of the letters you could spell in different ways. You could spell it hey yud, you could spell it hey aleph, hey hey, all different ways. If you spell all the letters with a yud, so it's yud vav dalid is a yud, hey yud is a hey, vav yud vav is vav, and hey yud is hey. That's 72 altogether. That is the name of Hashem that's associated with Chachma. That is the name of Hashem that's associated with Chachma. So in the name, Chachma. So the word, Chachma. The word Yavin, the word itself indicates Bina, and the gematria of it associates Chachma, which is that the klipa of Yavin is Ki'ilu, he has Chachma and Bina as one. Ki'ilu. Because that's the klipa. The klipa is what is in truth by the Jewish people, which is avicha v'yimecha as absolutely one. The umas ha'olam, when Tarsh, and what brings out the yichud of avicha v'yimecha v'hoy l'basarecha, that's Tarsh Baal Peh. When Tarsh Baal Peh is in golus by the other side, then it's kilu they have the yichud of avicha v'yimecha as indicated by the name Yavin. Where does Yavin live? So it's again, he's Melech Kenan, Asher Molech B'Chatzar, who lives in the city of Chatzar. First, why is he supposed to say that? Who cares? It's an Afghimini. You're going to go visit a Tzion. What's an Afghimini? Wait, what is Chatzar? The answer is, Chatzar is a combination of two words. Chatzar, Vav. Chatzar, Vav. Chatzar, the Kamarna talks about this with Chatzar. The word Chatzar, a courtyard, is always a word that's a code. Again, Tanakh is code. It's all code. Every word in Tanakh is a code for Eilumis, for Pratzufim, for spheres, for me, this is Zachar Nekeva. It's all. The word Chatzar is a code for Nekeva. Open territory, that's a Chatzar. Vav is obviously a letter for Zachar. He lives in Chatzar. Chatzar means the place that he lives in is also, it's Vaita bringing out the Klipa, it's bringing out the lie, the Sheker, that Yavin lives in Chatzar, Kilu, they have the site of the Yichud. It's fakir, but the truth is, by the Goyim, it's Yispardu Kapol Yavin. By them, it should be Pira. Their natural state is division. Knesset Yisrael, our natural state is Yichud, is union. This is the soy that you see by Sisra. Like I mentioned before, what's strange about the story is that we don't really deal with the king, we deal with the general. Why? The word Sisra reveals the real truth of what was going on behind the scenes. Yavin is Abba and Ima, Chach Mabina together, he lives in Chatzar, it's Yichud. Yavin proclaims as if he has the secret of Yichud, but the truth is, he has the secret of Yichud hijacked, because the real Yichud is by the Jewish people. He's hijacking it. How do I know he's hijacking it? Because look at the name of his general. Who's his general? His general is Sisra. What does the word Sisra come from? Sris. Sris means someone that can't have a Yichud. with a nekeva. That's what Asuris means. Chazal say in the beginning of creation, the Tninim Hagdoilim, Hashem created the Leviathan and a female Leviathan, right? But Hashem saw they couldn't, the world couldn't handle such a thing. Sirius is Hazachar, Vaharagas Anakeva. Sirius is Hazachar, Vaharagas Anakeva. By the Vilna Gaon, the writings of the Vilna Gaon, that is exactly the side of the Klipa. The side of the Klipa is Sirius is Hazachar, Vaharagas Anakeva. There's no Nekeva, all there is Hazachar, and the Zachar is Mesuris. That's Sisra. Who's the female of Sisra? Who's his counterpart? There is no counterpart. By the Klal Yisrael, there's Devira and Barak. But by the enemy, there's just Sisra. Because that's the real truth. Think of it the other way. Why? If there's all a miracle, right? The Molcham is a miracle. It's all Maifsim. So why would the Rabbanu Shalom not say, I'll do even better. Let the Rabbanu Shalom say that I'll make it work, that Yavin himself will come and be destroyed. Why Davka Sisra? The answer is that's the Nakuda. Having Sisra be the guy that the Rabbanu Shalom schleps to Nachal Kishon and you're fighting is itself the downfall of the Klipa. That's itself the downfall. Because even Sisra coming tells you who's the enemy? Sisra. The enemy is no Nekeva and the Zohar that's Mesuris. The only Nekeva that we find in the life of Sisra is later on in Parakeh, is the mother of Sisra. That's not a Alkin Yazavish is of a Vesima Vidavak Bishtavayil Basarecha. The only person who cares about Sisra is an adult. I don't know how old he was, but he's a general of Yavin's army. He's a Bulvan of a guy. Is he running back to mommy to report things? And the pasuk says, like, his mother was waiting for him to come. Akilu, he's like a mama's boy, right? So what's pshat? Because Sirius says, there is no nekeva. There is no nekeva. It's all a joke. It's because the side of Yichud is really by Knesset Yisrael. That's the side of Sisra. Yeah, they don't have anything. The whole Inyan, if there would be no Sirus, then the Etzem, he has the Zohar has the potential of being Moilid, just there's a Chasaran, there's no Makava, there's no Nekeva. But now it's like, there's no Nekeva, and even the Zohar doesn't have the side of Yichud is not Shaykh by the Umas Olam.
He's going back to the
Umas. Huh? And he goes back. Right, he doesn't have. There's nothing. That's the again. That's the anti. Again, the opposite of that is Devira. This is why Devira and Barak again. They weren't husband and wife, but you see, in terms of this storyline, Devira represents Imecha. Even she refers to herself in Shiras Devira, the next parak, as the mother of Klal Yisrael. She refers to herself as the mother, and Barak. Even the word Barak is a code for Nemida Visait. We find this in many places in Tanakh. The word Barak, which means like a lightning bolt, it's a remnant of the Midah of Yisait. And even Barak is the son of who? Avinoyam. Avinoyam is a word that also is connected to Chachma Bina, to Ab and Ima. Avi is obviously a father, and Noyam Shabbos, in the Kisvi Ari, in Shara Kavanas, Noyam is associated with Bina. Barak is Avinoyam. Barak is Avinoyam. And Devira and Barak, they come together to fight against another side, which until now was claiming to be a Yavin, but it's not. All it is Sisra. That's all it is. That's what the whole story of the Rechev Barzel. What's a Rechev? A Rechev is a soldier riding on a Rechev. That's Zohar Nekeva. Rechev is a code word for Nekeva. The rider, Sus Veroich by Ram Vayam, the rider is the Bechin of a Zohar. That's why they're Barzel. Barzel's Bilha, Rachel, Zilpaleya, the four Emois. So the whole Inyan of the threat of Sisra, says the Pasuk, Sisra was such a threat because he had 900 Rachvei Barzel. Vulachatz as Yisrael Bechazka, and he was using his mouth, which is Tarash Balpeh. It's all the Klipa version, but it's not true. It's all not true. The Haraya, when it actually comes to battle, is just Sisra. And the Pasuk later on, we'll see this later on, when the battle, when Sisra begins to be defeated, the Pasuk highlights the fact that Sisra ran away on foot. It highlights this, that he didn't run on a chariot. Who cares? So he's riding on a donkey, he's riding on foot, he's on his hands, whatever. The point is he's running away and he gets killed. No. You have to know that as he was running away from the Jewish people, he was not on a chariot. Because that's the site of Sisra. The real truth is that he never had a chariot. He never had a chariot. It was Haragas and Akeva. Misaris is Zachar Vargas in a cave. That's all there was. There was never such a thing. There was never such a thing. This is also why. Why does the pasuk highlight that Devorah was wealthy? Like I said before, you need to know it's an afkamina. It's trying to bring out the fact of how opposite the Jewish people are, how opposite Kedusha is from the other side. The other side is, again, as I said, Harag HaSanakeva, and Masaris is HaZachar. So this, the opposite, the Jewish people are the opposite of that. The opposite of Siris is HaZachar is the name Barak. Barak means the opposite of Siris. The opposite of Siris Ramevion, that's what Barak means. The opposite of Harag HaSanakeva is not just that a Nekeva is alive, not just that there is a Devorah, but she has her own parnasa. Ani is chashav kemes, right? Malchus is usually associated with the nekeva. She doesn't have it. If the dependency of the nekeva from the zachar also to a certain degree means there's a little bit of a chasaron of chayim. The side of Devorah is not only it's so not hargas and nekeva ad kedei kach that she has her own parnasa. She doesn't need anybody else. She has her own support system. That's how chai she is. It's drawing the parallel that it's the opposite of what the other side is. It's the opposite of the other side. That's the side of Devorah. The four sources of parnasa. I wasn't going to get into this, but okay. The four sources of parnasa. Was he had dates, grapes, olives, and glass, and sand for glass. Those, first of all, whenever you find four, so. Arba Miyadea, Arba Miyadea, Arba Mois, right? And four is also associated with the name Yudke Vavke. If you were to describe Tarsha Bechsav, Tarsha Balpeh, Avicha V'Imecha in Shemus HaKadoshim language, right? Then you would say Yudke Vavke is the Zohar, Yudke Vavke is Tarsha Bechsav, that's Avicha, and Alf Dal Nun Yud, or Elokim, there's other names. Aleph Dal Nun Yud Adnai would be Imecha, Tarsha Baal Peh, and so on. These four sources of Parnasa correspond to the letters Yudke Vavke. They correspond to letters of Yudke Vavke. So, I'll try to see if I could explain it. Al Regalachas. So the first one was Tamarim. Were dates. So dates, the pasuk in the Shivas Aminim, dates are not described with the word tamar. How does the pasuk say tamar in the Shivas Aminim? Dvash. Right, when it says zei shemenu dvash, honey in the Shivas Aminim is not bee honey. Devorah means a bee. It's not bee honey. It's dvash tamarim. It's from dates. It means tamarim means something that's sweet, sweetness. That's the right side, right? The name Yerkev, I wasn't going to go into this now, but the name Yerkevavke, those four letters, the infrastructure of think of it as right, left, center, and then like the vessel at the end, the Malchus, receiving it all. So that's Yerkevavke. The right side is Chesed, that's Tamarim. Grapes. That's the left side. Grapes become wine. It ferments. It spoils. That's what fermenting is, right? The yayin is always associated with gvuras. Zayas, that's the second source of pronunciation. The third source of pronunciation she had was a zayas, olives. Olives is always associated with the mid of yisoid. Again, maybe next week I'll give you the marmor comments for this, or I won't, but we'll see. The zayas... Zayas has to do with that's the vav of Yudkevavke. And as the yud of Yudkevavke, that's associated with kindness, with chesed, with sweetness. That's tamarim. The hay of Yudkevavke is gevura. That's oriented towards fermentation. Midas hadin. That's wine. The vav of Yudkevavke. That's the zayas. That's the olives. The Gemara says that wine, that shemen, has a skula to make a person remember. Vav connects. Vav is a letter of connection. To remember something means, to connect to something that was in the past. That's memory. So the Zay Shemen, that's the Vav. And the final, the sand, right? The sand from which you create glass And the Gemara says the reason why she had such a parnasa from that is because the sand that she had in her properties, whatever it is, produced very transparent glass, very, very good quality glass. That's the final hay of transparency. The Midah of Malchus, as we know from the Svarim, that final hay means a transparent lens, a speklar ha'meira, through which the first three letters are able to just shine through. So the whole site of Devaira, which is Tarshabal, which is the female, which is the aim, is that she, her parnasa comes because she has within her a parnasa of Yud Kevavke, which is Tarshabal Sav. So it says, you know, it's indicating the Vahayla Basar Echad. It's bringing out how healthfully integrated Tarash Bechsav and Tarash Belpeh, Avicha V'Yimecha, the Yichud. Again, the anti-Sisra, anti-Yavin. That's what's going on over here. It's the anti of that. Now, why do they gather from the Shevet Naphtali? Why Shevet Naphtali and Zvulun? We're not going to get to Zvulun today, but at least Naphtali. Why Naphtali? So here's the amazing thing. Like I mentioned in the beginning, the era of Tarsh Baal Peh begins with the destruction, with the second base of Migdash and on, right? And the truth is, Tarsh Baal Peh really, really, as we know it, you know, even at, during the Golis, it's developed. Where did Tarsh Baal Peh, where does the second base of Migdash come from? What are the origins of the second base of Migdash? Now we know the origins of the second base of Migdash come from the story of Purim, right? We know that, again, you know, Esther Malka remains in the palace after the story is over, right? And her and Achashverosh have a son, Luchulu, which eventually leads to the return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, right? Their child, Daryovish, gives permission to return to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the base of Migdash, and that's where the second base of Migdash comes from. That's where the second base of Migdash comes from. Ritzadik, right, so it means that the second base of Migdash, which is Tarsh Baal Peh, originates from the Jewish people, sort of without the kingdom of Paras realizing it, us taking control of the throne of Paras, right? Because who's sitting on the throne of Paras? A Yid, right? Now they don't, he himself might not have chapped how much of a Yid he was. Debatable in Chazal how, you know, Jewish minded he was, but he was a Yid, right? He was a Yid. And so this strange dynamic of how Tarsh Baal Peh comes from the Jewish people sort of taking hold of the kingdom of Paras. Why? So why? What's the connection between Tarsh Baal Peh and Paras? So take a look at Maromokon number 8, okay? So Maromokon number 8 is Rav Tzadik and Tzidkas Tzadik. Rav Tzadik said, he quotes the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara says that Paras had a certain Midah, which is a beautiful Midah. But again, like all things, if it's a beautiful Midah by the Goyim, it's in truth hijacked from the Yidden. So what's the Midah of Paras? Says the Gemara, Tznius. Tznius. The name of it, Tznius. Says Rav Tzadik, that's the Midah that's super needed in order to establish the world of Tarsh Baal Peh, which is the second base of Mikdash. Why? Because what's Tarsh Baal Peh? Modest prophecy. Like I said in the beginning, it's Nevuah that's Behelim. So the ingredient that you need in order to develop a cult, a space for Tarsh Baal Peh to flourish is Tznius. Where do you get Tznius from? Tznius is a Midah that I call you, so that's our Midah. But the Persians hijacked that. So you needed there to be a Yid on the throne of Paras to consciously or not consciously to reclaim the throne of Tznius. And from there, you can then have the second Beis HaMikdash and to develop Tarsh Baal Peh from there. It means that the inin of Tarsh Baal Peh is specifically bound coming from the Malchus of Paras, from the story of Purim. What month in the year is associated with the month of with the inin of Purim and the story of Paras? If it wasn't for this month, none of us would even think about the Persian Empire, like, you know, it would be nothing. It's Adar, yeah? We know the 12 Shvatim are associated with the 12 months. Which Shevet is the month of Adar? So there's all different ways of dealing with it. Take a look at Maromokim number 7. That's from Likutei Mamorim. Rav Tzadik on page 151. Ukufi Zeh, certain cheshmer that he has according to the sheet of the Ravid. Naphtali neged Adar. Naphtali corresponds to Adar. That's where the word Naphtali, maybe we'll see about this maybe next week. Naphtali, the word Naphtali, Rachel Imenu calls him Naphtali because now that she has a child from Bilhah, Naftule ilikim niftalti imachaisi gam yichalti. Now I can have a connection with my sister. We're on the same page now. Naftali means, the name Naftali is associated with the kayach of uniting Yidden. Of uniting Yidden. This is the site of Tarsh Baal Peh. Like I said in the beginning, when a baby is born, it's Klal Yisrael Simcha. That's the month of Adar, the month of Purim. Is obviously there's no yontif that's more achdus oriented than Purim, right? That's the so Naftali Davka is the yontif of Purim, is the month of Adar, which is associated with Purim, which is Malchi Paras, from which Tarsh Baal Peh is able to develop. Says Devar Tabarak, me and you, we're the site of the Yichud, and we're going to go and save Tarsh Baal Peh. V'hayu l'basar echad through us. That's Tarsh Baal Peh, and we're going to take it out of the hands of Sisera. The Yavin, it's hijacked over there. But in order to create an environment that you can have Tarsh Baal Peh develop, just as the second Beis HaMikdash needed to be in a space that was created by Paras, so the Yichud, the capturing of the recapturing of Tarsh Baal Peh from Sisera through Barak and Devaira has to be done in the context of some Shaychis to the Inn of Paras, which they do through gathering 10,000 troops from Naftali and through Naftali. Now, why Zvolun also? That Bez Hashem, I guess we'll speak about next week. So, Bez Hashem, we'll get there. Okay, Shkaya.